DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
I'm your blinker after being on 4 miles or more.
I don't think I ever do that.
Fuck, man. Well, you're not listening to your podcast loud enough. That's what I mean.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yep. That's like an old person thing to do. I'm not that old yet.
Oh, and, speaking of old people on the freeway, an old guy, maybe 80 years old, had a blowout right in front of me. And usually you have a blowout.
The tire or the heart?
I know, right?
I'm kidding. Wow, savage. I'm sorry.
I don't think his heart lasted much longer after that. She's got jokes, folks.
Cruel.
But I'd never seen this. So his tire popped. It went flop, 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 maybe like 4 rotations and just flew off the rim. And then and the tire's going as fast. Well, he's slowing down and the tire just passes him up and like takes off down the freeway. Mm-hmm. And he's riding on rim alone. But he's so old that he's like not sure if he should pull over. It was a shit show.
Yeah, that's scary.
I'm glad he survived. I'm glad you did too.
Yeah. If I had more time, I would have pulled over and helped him because sometimes those really old people don't have cell phones. But yeah. He should be all right.
Let's hope. All right. We want to plug Bloody Keyboards. They sent us another keyboard, the B820R, the one that we really liked. Chi, you're going to take that one home and check it out, right?
Yes, I will. So most likely I will be recording an unboxing video on it. And I am going to use it for a while, see if it's something I like. And if I don't like it, then let's have another giveaway.
It's a really good keyboard. I don't know why she wouldn't like it, but yeah, there's a chance you guys might get another one.
Well, I like the keyboard that I have, but if I like it more or less, if I like it more, I'll keep it. But if I like it less, we could do another giveaway, which is exciting. And congratulations again. Last week, we gave away the B845R illuminated keyboard to Tom.
Something or other.
Yes.
And if you guys just want to get your own, go to Amazon and use the promo code BloodyDL, and you'll get 10% off or something like that.
Cool.
And show them that we're important. That's the other thing.
And Slapnuts brings up a really good question in Discord. Is the numpad on the left side on this keyboard?
Yes. That's normal layout. Oh, I'm sorry. It's on the right side.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a normal layout.
It's a
normal layout.
It's a great
fucking
keyboard.
Gosh, you're like, yes, it's the normal bloody layout. I'm like, well, we're about to do another giveaway, guys.
It's enough. That's enough.
Like, manufacturer, factory sealed, you know, never opened.
Yeah.
Giveaway. If the numpad were on the left side.
It's still air packed tight in its bubbles, and you see the numpad on the wrong way, and you just fucking slap a to-go sticker on it, send it off to whoever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that is the quietest keyboard I've ever used.
Yeah.
Very, very quiet.
I love it.
So I think it's great for streaming.
That's my main keyboard. That's what
I'm excited to test it out, honestly. I am the type of person that will use her equipment down until it's unusable, where the buttons are literally falling off and flying into unseen corners and I'm losing them. So testing out something new and doing a cross comparison will be exciting because I never do that.
She's not lying. I went to her house and all her pencils are like 3 inches long because she just keeps using them all the way down to the nub.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into it, we want to give a shout out to Tag Loro. Emilio, you want to do the honors?
Oh, yeah. I just want to, if you guys see him jumping around the Discord and doing some busy work for us, it's because I think I mentioned it before, but just so you know, Tag Loro is working with us now. So, you know, he's doing some stuff for us, and it's cool. So don't think that he's trying to be a super cool guy. He is a super cool guy.
All right. Let's get into some games that we are interested in playing. I'll go first. So on October 27th, Wolfenstein 2, the New Colossus, comes out. I have already pre-purchased this, so I will definitely be playing it. Any interest from you guys on this one?
Of course. I mean, we gave this game of the year when the year the first one came out. I would say that there is a huge, huge fault in this game that you're not going to like, Bobby.
What's that?
It's called Heroes of the Storm. And it's going to prevent you from finishing it because it's so hard
I'll make time overcome. For Wolfenstein. I'll make time for Wolfenstein. I'm really excited for this game, but my only concern is that, you know, me and sequels, like I just, it's been what, 2 years, 2.5?
Sure. You weren't happy about the DLC as well, right?
Yeah, the DLC was short, seemed like more of the same, nothing really new. I don't know. I'm interested to see where the story picks up. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of the same stuff, which I don't know. I think I'm okay with. I can do a first-person shooter every now and then.
Did you play the first one?
I have honestly never played any Wolfenstein other than probably a match on the original Wolfenstein
back like online?
Way back in the day where I was just testing out new shooters.
Yeah.
I have not played any modern day Wolfenstein whatsoever. I think I would love it. I do love story driven shooters, and this is like top quality stuff. I would enjoy this a lot.
Like I said, it was game of the year. If you and Bobby ever hook up your game syncs, then definitely check it out.
I could play the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'd like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking about the other day? Like when I was buying this game, the story wasn't even the big selling point for me. It was really just the premise. I mean, that's hard to do. It's like a period piece in an alternate reality. Like it takes place in the past, but if we had gone down like a different timeline. So I don't know. That's really hard to pull off. I just remember the little details in the first one. Like they had the Beatles, but the Beatles sang German songs instead were kind of in support of the Nazi regime. Yeah. So I'm wondering in this one, like, does this take place maybe in the 70s? Because the first one was in the 60s, right?
I guess, but I mean, this is a 50s diner, but I think that's neither here nor there. You can have a diner anywhere.
It could be the sequel, but as a prequel type
of ordeal.
It's
not a prequel, right, Bobby?
I'm pretty sure it picks up where the last one left off. And I think that lady who, you know, everyone took the screenshot of that crazy lady with her face half blown off.
I can't believe that I actually remembered something I wanted to bring up during the podcast. There was I watched a fight last night in Poland, UFC. They had one in Poland. And I had always thought that this guy's fucking name was ridiculous. The main character, Chi, is named BJ Blazkowicz. Like it sounds
Blastowicz.
Like it sounds like
what
blast,
kind of accent like should that be?
He's American. He's American. He's just an American immigrant. Like his parents were immigrants or whatever. So anyway, last night there was a fighter. His last name was fucking Blazkowicz. I guess it's a real last name. I thought it was just like, I don't know. I thought it was over the top, like Rambo.
I mean, it probably was, because the first Wolfenstein, well, Wolfenstein 3D, the first Wolfenstein game was actually like in the early 80s, but the Wolfenstein 3D that we all know, I mean, that was like 91, and they didn't really take games very seriously then. I mean, they just called their main characters whatever, so they kind of kept the name as like a tribute or an homage.
Yeah, but I think what I'm saying is like Duke Nukem is like obviously way over the top.
My imaginary child's name, Duke Nukem. I think that would be a very befitting name for imaginary child.
I had a buddy, they said, oh, hey, my girl's pregnant. I was like, oh shit, congratulations, man. What are you gonna name him? He's like, I'm voting for Velociraptor Spectacular. And I was like, well, I hope she lets you do that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's the thing. I know a lot of women who give the male full say in regards to what they're going to name their child. And I will never be one of those women, might I say, because I would not name my child Velociraptor.
Spectacular.
Spectacular.
That's what really turns it around. You got to add that second part.
Actually, funny story. My sister almost named her baby girl Love. And I was the main
squash.
Yeah, I was the main detractor in regards to that. So that's why I would never let anyone else name my baby.
Although I just had a thought for the first time. I think maybe boys should name boys and girls girls, because guys know what guys are like and girls know what girls like, what the experience of being one. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, Bobby, would your life have been better if you were named Rocco?
Rocco.
Bobby looks like a Rocco.
Yeah, maybe
it's not a bad name.
Yeah,
I think Bobby looks like any other name other than Bobby too. At the same time,
really?
Which is why
he's too smart for Bobby.
Well, it's because you get older, and like any name that ends with like a E sound just doesn't.
When are we gonna do the change, Bobby?
When am I gonna start going by what, Robert? I mean, I do like
no,
I don't tell people
Bob.
Oh yeah. Hell no, never.
Oh, never,
absolutely never.
How
never.
About
I get
Rob?
Very upset if people call me Bob.
Does
I mean,
Rob count for Robert? Or
Rob
does
sounds
not?
Pretty 80s. I don't know. Maybe I could go for that, but I don't know.
That would be weird too.
I think I signed my driver's license Rob.
Not to be like morbid here, but I think you become Robert when your dad dies, right?
No, he's Bob.
Oh, he's Bob.
My dad goes by
you
Bob.
You become Bob, I
think. And that's partially why I don't like to be called Bob, because it's very, it just sounds like someone's talking to my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Wolf
how much
Stein.
Are you, I was working the other day and I realized like I'm becoming my father.
Yeah.
Have you, how
the
much
older I get, the more I become him. It's creepy.
It's creepy,
very
right?
Very scary.
It's so weird.
Yeah,
I believe it.
It's crazy because, I mean, I don't talk to my dad like a whole lot. He learned to text message, so I've been communicating with him a lot more. But it's like, even without talking to him, I totally understand my dad more and more as the years go by. Like, I think of things back when I was a kid, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I totally understand why he did that or why he said that. So, yeah. But anyway, last thing on the Wolfenstein New Order or New Colossus, id Tech 6 is the engine they're running on. And I can't remember if this is the one that the first Wolfenstein ran on or not, but this has always been the most impressive game engine to me. So I'm excited to see that too. I think the graphics are going to be amazing.
Well, I mean, from the video, which you never know, but it was video gameplay. It did look substantially better than the first one, which was a great looking game. But is anything going to fuck with Star Wars?
Yeah, I know, Star Wars is hard to beat.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I thought 70s because I saw that black chick with the afro in the trailer.
Yeah.
So
could
I was
be.
Like, oh, yeah, maybe maybe they got like Nazi disco or something. Hey, that would.
Nazi disco, everyone.
Everybody knows that there was.
Would you be disappointed if they did not have a Nazi disco?
I mean, kind of now, yeah. No, it's out there.
Here goes Bobby setting up expectations where they are most likely.
I don't want
to
hype it up. I just want to forget about it. And then when it comes out, I'll play it. So, all right. So what games did you guys bring up here?
Yeah. He's like, let's see how your dick measures up against my fucking AAA awesome $60 game.
Yeah.
Maybe we should add some caveats to this too. Hand of Fate 2. I really like the first game. What it is, it's kind of a mix of a few genres. It's a RPG where you're kind of moving through a board game, right? So you like take your steps, you roll some dice, everything's game based. But then based on the cards you get and the rolls that you do, you then go into a straight up like Batman fight. You know, where you're chaining combos together against skeletons or whatever. But let's say you were going to fight three skeletons, and then the Hand of Fate dude, draws three cards for that fight. One might give you an extra health point. One might give them flaming swords. One might add a fourth skeleton. So, like, it's completely fucking random. And, you know, everybody knows that I love
I like Roblox. That concept.
Yeah, it's really cool. The first one was really good. And now they've taken the graphics to, you know, really high levels compared to the first one. So, I was excited about it. So I will probably be picking this up. I think I only played the first one off of Bobby's account.
Yeah, you know, the first one is a lot more popular than I realized. It was on my giveaway list that I do every Friday. And multiple people asked for this one.
I was looking at the graphics on this game, and I was like, wow, the first one must have done really well if they have enough money for these graphics.
Absolutely.
It's funny. If we go back 6 months, I'd say these were AAA graphics. But now, dude, it's a whole new world with these fucking... now the Star Wars has set a new bar. You can't even say that anymore.
Yeah. That really, to me, is the pinnacle of graphics right now.
Oh, Bobby, I don't know if you heard, but apparently the single player in Star Wars is going to be far, far more robust than people originally thought.
Hmm.
Yeah, like many hours long. But
well,
are we talking robust as in just as long as a Call of Duty single player or a Halo single player?
Apparently more than like it. The article I read was more than you would expect. So I'm guessing that it's going to be... Which one? Is it Call of Duty or Battlefield that comes with a single-player component?
Both of them do now.
Both of them do now. Yes. Okay. So but Call of Duty has always come out with a single-player.
Advanced Warfare was like 6 hours.
Yeah, so a lot of the Call of Duty games...
Average 6 to 9 hours.
What would you be happy with? You guys with Star Wars.
A campaign. See, here's the thing. Like the standard I judge all Star Wars games on is obviously Dark Forces 2, and that.
Ooh, is that a new game?
Yep. Never heard that.
But
one
that's
before.
Different, though. Right?
Yeah, but that one. What was this?
That's a lifestyle.
Like Outcast Jedi or Outcast was like 20 to 25 hours long. That was a very long game. Like they put a lot into that too. Like and they scaled it just right, so you got force powers. You became more powerful. You had lightsaber duels every so often. I think Dark Forces 2 was a little bit shorter, maybe like 15 to 20 hours, maybe even less than that. I burned through it so quick because I got the whole thing memorized. But, I mean, they say people won't play first-person shooters longer than 20 hours. If there's not enough RPG elements, like nobody plays a 20-hour first-person shooter. So, like, those are getting more and more shorter, but the RPG games, I feel like, are getting more, like, bigger and bigger.
Prey is probably 20 hours, right?
Prey is pretty long, yeah.
But that's like an outlier.
Yeah.
As for BioShock, I feel like they get longer and longer the more games they come out with. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I'd be happy if Star Wars had like a 12-hour campaign. 12 to 15 hours.
You would be happy
that is
that.
Actually extensive for a shooter, and you're
that's
right.
That's a long game.
Especially one with a full multiplayer component. Mm-hmm. But the more enticing you make it, the more copies you're going to sell.
I feel like when it comes to that particular title, I would be more enticed by the single player, whereas the multiplayer has never really interested me at all.
Yeah.
In regards to Star Wars, though,
they make all their money off the multiplayer and the microtransactions. So yeah. Of course they have to put more effort into that, and I get that. Like you don't make money just selling a single player campaign game and having people play through it once and then it's just gone. I mean that doesn't keep the bucks rolling in. Yeah. Especially EA.
And the other thing is,
it's not about that.
If they came out, this was big news last week, and I didn't put it in the news this week, so we might as well talk about it now. EA had a huge game, single player Star Wars game coming out, and it was going to be much like Just Cause, like a cinematic thing that you play through with like sweeping angles and all this stuff, mm-hmm. And they cut it.
Yeah, it's 13-13, right?
Yeah.
We had a whole conversation about this.
No.
This is a different one.
Recently, right now, got fired. The entire team got disbanded. And
they shut down the studio.
But are you talking about Visceral?
Visceral, yes.
Okay.
So they were working on the Star Wars game. And the reason they said noted was the marketplace dictated that we couldn't make this. And basically, the way that I saw that is if you make a AAA single-player title, it's going to be fucking ripped off. Everybody's just going to hack it. That's it. Like,
we'll just download a crack copy.
Yeah,
a
crack copy.
Yeah.
You need to have, so for Battlefront 2, I'm sure you can't play the single player offline because that would open it up to being cracked. So you're probably going to have to be online to play it. And so I'm totally fine with it. Unfortunately, because people are pirating stuff, we're getting not as robust single-player games. They're going to be tacked on to multiplayer games.
I understand that, but also, on the contrary, I feel like the audience that they would be marketing towards, the crack problem, that's mostly only in the PC gaming element. You can't really crack on console. And so I feel like they would market through the console with these
games, all the time.
You can. It's a lot more involved, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think you have to burn onto a disk. So.
You got to put, like, the SD card in. You got to load a certain firmware. And then every time a new update comes out, you got to redo something. And then, like, of course, they're always fighting it. So they're trying to, like, prevent you from doing that. It's like a constant back and forth.
But the numbers are nowhere near the same.
Yeah,
right.
I would imagine the percentile of people who are going to that extent to crack a game for their console versus someone who simply just has to find the file to BitTorrent is significant.
But I understand there is a pirating market, I don't think it's just piracy, though.
Like, I don't think just piracy alone is what's preventing single player games. It's the fact that it's a one-time sell and then that's over with. And that article came out just like a couple weeks ago saying like Microtransactions have tripled the gaming industry's revenue. And so they're making most of their money off of microtransactions, DLC, season pass, having a game that's a community rather than just like a one-time deal.
Ubisoft made $13 billion in microtransactions. It's fucking crazy. And yeah. Nobody else is going to ignore those numbers. So it's like, what are you...
Yeah, and a big publisher like EA, I can see how they don't want to mess with any small potatoes. It just, it really sucks for Visceral because that was a very creative studio. They brought us Dead Space and, you know, they kind of got brought under EA's wing and then chewed up and spit out. But
I liked all three, by the way.
It is very
Dead Space.
It is very disappointing news because you know that this is quality product that is not going to see the light of day because of
the marketplace.
Yes, exactly.
It's been like this for a while. A BioShock Infinite, right after that game came out, the studio disbanded. Said they're going to work on smaller projects.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's rough. It's the world we live in. And I don't think it's ever going to change from now on. Well, fuck. It's hard to say ever, but I mean, almost, if you put something out digitally, it's going to be copied and it's going to be stolen.
And yeah, it's just not a financially successful business model to make those types of games anymore. And those types of games are, maybe it's because of that's all I played when I grew up. Like, to me, those are like real games.
I feel like Lara Croft did really well.
Yeah, that's true. Lara Croft, Assassin's Creed, Wolfenstein, too, another good example.
Yeah, again, heavily on the consoles on those, too.
Yeah.
Exactly, such as also Metal Gear Solid and Far Cry as well.
I would love to see the amount of copies sold on PC of certain games versus consoles. Like, who knows? On certain games, I'm sure they sway a lot. I'm sure the sports titles. Anyway, we'll get into it later.
All right, we got a little off topic there. All right, so that was Hand of Fate. And Chi, your game.
All right, let's talk about something fun and cheap. This is a game called Think of the Children. And children, did I say that correctly? Anyways, and the sub for it says, ready, set, parent. So I, for on my radar game, I was reading a PC Gamer article and they were mentioning a great website called whatsonsteam.com, which kind of allows you to find the hidden gems that are released that won't necessarily break the bank.
And gee, that's what this segment's all about. Don't credit them for our stuff.
I'm sorry. But also, and you're not going to find AAA titles on this website as well. But anyways, the game that I was looking at, it's a fun game that reminds me of Overcooked a little bit. It's a cooperative game. With this game, what you're doing is, you, as two parents, you are set in a fixed 3D, it's almost Minecraft looking.
Very blocky
scenario where you're set up to tasks and you're also responsible for the safety of your children. So while you're going around and doing parenting tasks, you also have to frantically do things to keep your child alive, to not have them get run over by a car or to have a shelf fall on them. I feel like it's just a very fun multiplayer game, and it's less than $9.99. It's on sale on Steam right now for 15% off, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Let me get this right. So the people that are all playing together are cooperatively trying to take care of the children?
Yes. So you get to play as the parents, and you can mix and match the parents and customize them any way you like. So if you want to be two dads, by all means, be two dads. And you could, from what it looks like, you can also customize the kids. This kid has a kitty face. I like it because it has that cooperative element where it's just a lot of fun, four-player local. And you are just running around and working together to keep the children alive.
If anything comes even close to the cooking one.
Overcooked.
And it's a good game.
Didn't you hear me say this is a lot like Overcooked?
Yeah, I say that's what I'm saying.
But with
that's
children?
Why I said what I said.
Yeah.
Parents,
right.
Anything like that, then it'll be good.
Yes.
Did you guys see that movie, Her?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was a really good movie.
So they had the him playing games, and of course, this is way in the future. And one of them was like that little foul-mouthed little kid was like leading him through a cave. But the other game that caught my eye in that movie was one that some lady was dying she was like developing or something in her office, and it was like a parenting simulator or something, like, or a mom simulator. I can't remember exactly what it was called or if they even said the name of it, but it kind of reminded me of this.
Yep. So in this game, apparently you go through, from what I understand, a family court is testing your parenting mettle, and I'm quoting this. So they put you in these scenarios where it could be a hectic birthday party, a trip to the zoo, and then you're completing multiple tasks.
Yes. Is your biological clock ticking?
No.
Is that why you click this game?
No, not at all. It just looks super interesting.
Half our listeners have kids, and this sounds like death to them, I think.
Really? No, this is...
You know why? Because, like, as they play video games, half of them are falling down the stairs as they play PC.
Oh, so it's like multitasking.
They're already doing this in real life. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Well, since I don't want my own children, vicariously, I will, you know, enjoy the experience through video games. Why not? Ooh. VR parenting. You never know. It's probably in the works.
So I have to go with Wolfenstein. I mean, I was going to pick it, but I knew Bobby was going to pick it, so I couldn't pick it. So there we go.
I don't have that money to expend. So most likely I'm going to buy my own game. Think of the children.
Cool.
I will happily play your copy of Wolfenstein, though.
How much would it get you?
It's $8.49 after the discount.
Yeah, on sale for $8.49. Cool. And that looks like an interesting game. I'd like to check that out at some point.
See ya, Donut. Thanks for hanging out.
Yep. We got some people asking about games in the chat, I guess we could bring up. One of them was Zero Horizon Dawn. I don't think that's a PC
game.
That's a
PC. That's a fucking PlayStation only game. But okay. Chad loved it.
Really?
He beat that game in 2 days. Wow. And that's like a 50-hour game.
What kind of game is it?
That doesn't add up. It might have been a week, but it's Far Cry-ish. Oh, Far Cry Primal. I was watching him play. I'm like, this is exactly Far Cry Primal.
Okay.
But, you know, he really, really, really enjoyed the story. I don't have a huge vocabulary, so when I want to emphasize something, I just add reallys.
Solid plan. All right. Thoughts on Destiny 2 already having a season pass? I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with Destiny. Yeah. Not the game for me.
I was going to put it on the radar, but I'm like, I don't want to play it.
I will be playing Destiny 2, as I mentioned before. I'm not doing any preliminary research. I already played the demo. I have a strong impression of what the game is going to be. I hear rating has improved a lot for the second Destiny, and until I get a more hands-on experience with it, that's the most I have to say. I look forward to playing it, but I wasn't overly impressed by the demo that I played.
Yeah.
I had fun, but it wasn't something that was mind-blowing.
Here's my thing. I like the idea of the structure of that kind of game where you get together with people and you go on raids, but I think Anthem is going to be my version of that. I was so taken away with that demo that they played, the demo video.
I'm saying no to season passes. Like, even when I bought Wolfenstein, they had the season pass, and I'm like, I know I'm going to play the hell out of this game, and I'm probably going to play any DLC that comes out too. But by the time I get around to playing DLC, I could get it on sale anyway.
You got to give you got to have a really super sweet, like, add-on for me to buy the season pass. Like, it's got to be a hat. I don't wear hats, but you know. Something.
I don't
toe
think
warmers.
I've ever played anything from any season pass that I have ever bought in my entire life.
So there you go.
Like, I don't.
I don't
really
do season passes either. And I know we were just having that conversation where the bulk of money that is earned is through microtransactions and additional DLC once the game is released. I am not a part of that percentile of people that contribute more money than what was initially spent. I would happily invest more money for a pre-order package, so I know exactly what's coming. And I would happily get involved with modifications that come at no cost for a lot of the games, like Good Guy, Elder Scrolls, and or Divinity. I appreciate it when developers, and even Stardew, keep it open to the community itself. Like you said, it's building a community for gamers rather than just selling a game that is a one-time purchase playthrough and then...
Which can be good, too. I was going to bring this up. Like, Cuphead is just, you buy it, it's great, and then you just put it down, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they made their money, but also the amount of money that went into... I think there's room for everything, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I totally see... Because Shadow of War, which is... Is it time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So Shadow of War, I continued to play, and it's got a whole fucking thing. If you want to get involved, it's there. Like, you can buy the loot boxes and for a single-player game, which is weird. You can buy the XP bonus. You can sign up for the newsletter and get 3% extra XP on a single-player game. Is it necessary? Are they selling more copies because of that? Probably not. Are they going to make a few extra bucks? Probably. Is the amount of money that they're going to make extra worth the extra time of putting in all those extra features? I couldn't guarantee that for them. Bobby, do you think like... Okay, so you have this super extensive, deep game with all this voice acting and all this stuff. And then on top of that, you have another team working on... The online microtransaction thing is the microtransaction is going to bring in more money than it costs them to add that to this game
over time? Possibly.
I can't guarantee that. I don't know anything about it, but yeah. Like,
it's weird. They can do, what that allows them to do though, is sell the game for really cheap
later on.
And then they continue to make the money back because eventually all games get very cheap. But then the microtransactions keep bringing in a lot of revenue.
But let me preface all of this with saying that I'm enjoying the game and none of the microtransaction stuff is in your face at all. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And I feel like when you're playing a mobile game and people tell you, oh, it's pay to win and blah, blah, blah. And then you play it for 10 hours and you still don't have any inkling to spend any money. That's how this is. I think it's just bells and whistles and stuff like that. I mean, 3% for being on the newsletter is fine. You can just unsubscribe afterwards, you know, if you want.
Did you install the 4K cinematic pack?
I tried. I texted you to see what's up if you were able to install it, but it doesn't work.
No, it didn't work for me either. And I looked it up. Other people were having the same issue. And they said, if you go to steam.db.com, then you can look up the game there and install it through that. But
did it work?
Didn't work for me, but you were playing at the time. So maybe that was the reason.
Oh, could
it
be. Yeah.
Family share.
Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I don't know. It seems they're making it difficult to get that extra content in there.
So if you were listening last week, I might be way off on how to play this game, Bobby. So I started over, mm-hmm. and I'm doing much, much better. And I'm like completely, like almost completely done with the first section. But when I say completely done, so Bobby, as soon as you got the quest for the next section, did you go to the next section?
Not directly.
Not directly?
I mean, you can still...
But are you in the same section?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. This is what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to kill all the captains. I don't think you have to, that's not even part of your thing that you have to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't think you have to.
I think I made it kind of like just my personal quest.
And how does that affect the game?
I don't know. I want to kill them all. So I'm down to two left. Or I was down to two and I got killed. And remember I told you time passes?
Of course.
So a bunch of other guys got promoted and they got replaced. So I really want to wipe out all the captains and see what happens. But I thought that's what the game was about. Nothing ever tells you, go do that. Mm-hmm. I just thought, why would they put so much work into making all these personalities and random dudes if that wasn't the game? But for me, I'm having a great time just hunting them down individually. Hmm. Even if I stop playing tomorrow, like I had a great time playing this game.
You playing that with a controller or a keyboard and mouse?
Yeah, controller.
Ah, nah.
No, nah.
You're playing it with keyboard and mouse, Bobby?
Yeah.
Of course. For a game like Dynasty Warriors, I can see how controller might be the better way to go about it.
Platformer is like the only thing I play with a controller.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit about Heroes of the Storm here. I tried to... You can force a resolution on your monitor. So there was a Reddit post by somebody saying they got a new monitor, and it was the one Emilio had, the Acer Predator X34. And they're saying, like, oh my God, this monitor is so amazing. Like, it's helped me out my game so much. I looked up the guy's account. He wasn't ranked very high, but,
in your face, random dude.
But, it got me thinking like, hey, maybe there's something to this. So I forced a 21:9 resolute aspect ratio on my monitor and played some Heroes of the Storm with that.
Okay. So it's very small. It played like a movie does on your on monitor.
It was letterboxed.
Oh, letterboxed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so but it was a lot smaller, right?
It was a little bit smaller. It was squished a little bit.
Yeah. So what'd you think?
I didn't really notice that much of a difference. You can see a lot more of the screen. You can see the entire middle of the lane when you have that. So it does make you a little bit more aware, but a lot of times what you don't see above and below your screen is what gets you killed as well. Like that's where that's where the ganks are coming in. And so it didn't
You really losing up and down if you go left and right?
No, you aren't losing anything. And you're gaining a little bit on each side. My concern was that it was going to take longer to move your mouse over to move the screen because you have to bump the side of the screen with your mouse to move it. And also it took longer to look at the or to click on the mini map.
Mouse speed, buddy.
Yeah. So were your assumptions correct in terms how it was going to hinder
after this
how you
experiment.
Played?
It didn't. I played two
and by the way, that's not
it.
The same. Nowhere near the same.
What is playing on a monitor?
Yeah, it gives you an idea.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to see way more of the map, which was nice. That was the positive.
Information is power.
But I kind of felt like it was stuff that had I been a good player anyway, I would still be aware of that kind of stuff. Like you're still tracking a lot of things. I don't know. I don't know how much hardware really plays into your performance as a gamer. I mean, but there's a little bit, but
I think if it did make a difference, it would be a hairline of a fraction of a moment within the game where you would have made you would have come to the same conclusion where, okay, somebody's coming to gank me, or I've noticed that this guy has left his lane. And during this part of the game, he's like, if I were him, I would probably pursue a gank. And all of these are elements about MOBAs that go without seeing. It's almost like the unseen strategy.
Yeah,
that
you're kind of like
MOBAs.
Running what they would do in your head.
Yeah,
you're imagining,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so for me,
game sense.
For me, I don't think enlarging the map would help me out necessarily, because even if I saw them in just a couple extra steps away, if he's in a good position and I only had there are plenty of, you know, fraction of a second movements that can save your ass. But I feel like even if you saw him sooner, he's probably well positioned. He's probably prepared to gank you. And I'm not sure if it's going to be such a turn of the tide scenario.
So, well, one is a storm. There's really not a whole lot of ganks. The biggest advantage for me was because I play warrior, the tanking position a lot. So when I'm face to face with the enemy team there, and I've got to keep an overall perspective of the team fight. So if they dive my back line, then I need to retreat, peel from my back line, or protect them. So it kind of helped being able to see the entire team fight, unless they're above or below me. So I could know, okay, I need to go back and help my teammates, or okay, I can chase this kill here. But I don't know. I don't think it really affected me all that much. And it makes I think with a bigger monitor, a physically bigger monitor, like wider one, it would make it harder to see the minimap. And seeing the minimap is just so much more important than having that extra width on the screen, because that's what you really need to check constantly. Like, you should be looking at that every 5 seconds.
What is this FM radio? We don't need AM's just as good and sounds
better. Here's the other thing in the guy's post.
God, I just had the idea that younger listeners won't know what I mean.
AM and FM?
AM,
that's
FM.
Still a thing. It's still out there.
I guess.
AM is better in some regards, too. I mean, you can get further.
Longer range. Antenna. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing about his post, too, he said he was coming off of a 24-inch monitor, and I think it must have been a TN panel. Must have been an easy one, because a big thing that he emphasized in his post was being able to see stealth. And in Heroes of the Storm, it's exactly like StarCraft, where there's a shimmer and it's easier to see if they move. It's like Predator. Predator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that. So I think having the newer monitor with those, what do they call that? not the TN panel, the other one, IPS, an IPS panel, because that's what yours is, right? Higher refresh rate and IPS. Like,
sure.
I think that alone made it a lot easier for him to see stealth. And that really,
Bobby,
was a bigger play.
Just get an ultra wide, dude.
Well, the big question is, are you keeping it as it is?
Sounds
now?
Like you're being like a grumpy old man. Like, oh, well, there's still has. It's just, clearly
I
better.
I don't know. See, the
what about enjoyable?
Still using the 16:9 though. Like when you stream, everyone sees it in Letterboxd.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, there's still.
Yeah, you stream once a month. That's totally worth the reason.
I don't know. It's working fine for me, and I like my monitor, and I got two of them, and they work really well, so.
Oh, gee, I think I realized what happened. The monitor that you have, isn't it my old monitor?
Is it your old monitor?
Yeah. It's like a 1080 Samsung TV.
No, it's an AOC monitor.
Oh, I remember. I gave it to somebody else. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'll just get all my stuff out of the way here. I played the Killing Floor 2 update. There's a Halloween update for Killing Floor 2. New weapons, one new weapon for each class, and one new map. And they're doing this. If you play, like, I think every day you get a ticket. You get 5 tickets. You trade it in for a cosmetic item. All sorts of new Halloween cosmetic items. They got, like, this bloodied up chicken. They got a pumpkin head.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, it's good. The new level is good, too. So
we never played Killing Floor together, did we?
No, you liked it, right, G?
I don't think you guys have it.
It wasn't Killing Floor that I played.
Killing yes. Floor 2?
Was it sure. Killing Floor? Was that the one where the monsters were coming at me in waves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then I definitely played it, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But did you have your own copy, or are you playing off Bobby's?
No, I have my own copy, and I've had it for a while, so cool. I believe. As for this, Bobby and I have never played together.
And this is a game you have to play with people. So
with
it's 50% off right now. So what, $14.99?
What yeah, a
totally
deal.
Yeah, so the new level is a lot like one of the other levels that they did, where at the end of each one, you go through a portal, it brings you into a completely new space where you have to survive a few waves. And in this particular one, they call it Nightmare, and each one is kind of like a nightmare. It's some really abstract kind of horror scene. One's like a graveyard or what do they call that, a morgue or a hospital, and then one's like crazy clowns. Like, they got all these different themes.
I love it. This is definitely the right time of the year to play that.
Yeah, but I mean, the game's scary already, but that's not, this skin isn't going to make it creepier. But it is nice that it's the right time of year. Yeah. Oh, whoa, what's the giant chicken?
Yeah, that's the big giant bloody chicken. It kind of looks like the mascot for the Padres a long time ago.
Yeah.
Remember the chicken? Yeah. But it's this game has come so far. When I first started playing it, they had a handful of maps. They had one boss, and they had 4 classes. And I wore that out pretty quick.
No,
and now there's so many more maps, so many more classes, so many more weapons. The only new weapon on this update that I got to play with was the medics one. And it was pretty interesting, actually. It puts a dot on the enemy, and it weakens them and slows them. And it's like a debuff. I don't think they had any other weapons like that.
No.
So it gives you a lot more to do. Yeah, it gives you more to do as the medic. But, yeah, I was having a good time with that. Probably going to play some more. And then the more you play, you earn up, like, currency, and you can trade that in. They got the whole TF2 crate system going.
So this is just an update. It's not a additional DLC where you have to purchase it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And that's how this game, well, I was going to say the first one had DLCs. How many DLCs does the first game have, Bobby?
Ridiculous. Too many to count.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Yeah, it was like Payday 2 almost. They just went a little overboard with the DLC.
And that worked with them for the first one. So I think they're going to be doing this, you know, that's their business model.
Well, on this
it kind of works on a game like this.
Well, they're doing it a little differently on this one. They got the crates, and then you can buy the thing to unlock the crate, or you can just flat out buy the emotes or the skins or whatever. They have a store. It's set up just like TF2 is.
But interestingly, my problem with this game wasn't addressed. How could they not put a new enemy type in?
Like, they kind of have a new. They kind of have a new enemy type. The quarter pounds, which are like flesh pounds, but a little bit weaker. It's not really that.
Yeah,
it's not that great.
Bobby did not share my criticism. I don't think.
Of what?
Of lack of enemy types.
Oh, you mean just in general?
Just in general.
See, I think they got plenty. And each of them do a different thing. Like the clots, they're really easy to kill, but they're numerous and they grab a hold of you. So they're actually like clots. Like they just kind of pin you down, like the common infected from Left 4 Dead.
But something that you're fighting, let's say.
Then you have the invisible ones, the stalkers.
Sure.
And
what are you talking? 8? 12? Maybe?
I don't know. You have the boss. Then you have the flesh
pounds. No bosses.
Okay. You got the flesh pounds. You got the dude with the chainsaw hand, you got the guy with the rocket arm, you got the creepy crawly things, you got the invisible stalkers, uh-huh. You got the clots, you got the guys with the blade on their hands, you got the bloat guys, and then you have the, another version of the blade hands guy, and I think that's it.
So okay, nine? So let's say 9, 10. These are things that you kill thousands of times. I really think that you need more diversity.
But how many did Left 4 Dead have? 4?
Left 4 Dead had
two put or
at most.
That's true.
Put in 2 more.
And I enjoyed that game more.
Yeah, well, that's every kind of game. That's not really, I don't consider Left 4 Dead wave survival. Because you're going from point A to point B.
You have to move.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, the Vermintide is free for the next 3 days. I don't know if that'll be live when this goes live, but try that game out. It's really good.
Vermintide is actually pretty fun.
Don't play with Bobby. He just gets frustrated that you suck.
And don't play with me because I will just leave you in the dust.
And then play dice in the corner. It's like, it's not that she's doing anything productive on the other side of the map. She's like looking at wall paint. I'm sorry. Just keep going. I gotta calm down.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right.
So I didn't get a chance to play the TF2 update. I really wanted to talk about that this week, the jungle update, but on Friday it wasn't working. Even on Saturday, I tried it out. Saturday morning, it still wasn't working.
That's a weird name. It's like, it's not jungle. It's like the hot jungle or some weird thing.
Mm-hmm. The maps look so cool, though. Cool. I'll play it tonight. It was working tonight, so I'll check it out.
I'll play with you, Bobby.
That's awesome.
This time. All right, Brawlhalla.
So I bought... Okay. Either I bought it or Bobby owns it.
It's a free game.
Now it is.
Oh.
Originally, you had to pay $13.99. That wasn't their pay structure. They weren't free to play originally. It has a 9 out of 10 on Steam. I don't know. See, that's kind of like disingenuous as well. I wonder if when they were on the other pay model, the $13.99, to just own it flat out, I wonder if that... affects their overall reviews because, okay, so I'm pretty sure I bought this game outright because it's a Smash Brothers clone. That's what it is. And I really want it on PC and that itch has never been scratched correctly. And I thought that this one, I saw this at E3, the first one that I went to maybe 3 years ago. And I was super stoked on it. And I played it and it was just kind of like, meh. The graphics are way better now. They have everything in place. I played it early on. Maybe the $13.99 just bought me early access and this is what they were leading up to, kind of like how Fortnite is, right? So you buy in early access, but it's going to be free. I didn't know that. I think that maybe my $13.99 should have got me some gold when it comes out, you know, something. But to my knowledge, I didn't get anything. Like, I don't see any money or any characters. I have 4 characters out of whatever it is, 25, 30 now. So, anyway, I'm not thrilled about the pay structure now. I kind of get it, though. It's kind of like MOBA-esque, where you get your heroes and you unlock more heroes and... You know, this is all about, it's a business. So I see what they're doing. The game's much better now. But I was just kind of like, oh, it's free to play now, which, you know, didn't throw me off. I'm open for everything. But then I start playing and I'm like, wait, why did I not get anything for being an early adopter? I didn't play it enough to tell you whether or not how good it is, but they do have multiplayer, online multiplayer, and that's what I really wanted because people don't come over and sit on my couch. It doesn't happen. I have a gross couch. So I
do like that too. I'm a big fan of Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think I've ever played a brawler game online because all I think about is couch co-op when I see games like this. So I imagine it would be extremely fun.
Who's your man, Chi?
back-to-back games, Pikachu for Super Smash Bros. Or Zelda.
Such a good teleporter. What's his name? Pikachu.
Like, and
getting back
on
the platform?
It's so funny.
Triple teleport.
It's hilarious ducking and seeing people trying to
hit you.
Oh,
yeah, because you're so low. Pika! Bobby, this is something that completely bypassed you, right?
Oh, yeah, I never played.
Oh, man.
Dude, one of the greatest...
Play Super Smash. We could
it's
go to Safe
ridiculous,
House
dude. It's
Smash
so good. It's so good.
No, Bobby, come over. No, my place is tiny. Don't come over to my
I would literally put
but
it.
I have an N64 hooked up to the TV, so we could play the original Super
top
Smash.
Top five game genres ever just because of that one game. Like, that's where I would put it. It's so fun.
Super Smash is so much fun, yeah.
Yep.
So Brawlhalla, you can't say if it really...
I'll get back to you next week. I played it. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I got off. But I did play online. I got my ass beat. I took fourth place.
In conjunction with what you were saying about spending money on it and not getting any, what's the word, recognition or any extra bonuses or rewards for actually spending money on something that became free to play. If you think about it in a different concept, games that are purchased at $60, like Fractured Butthole, and then wait a couple of years and you can only find that game in the used bin and maybe it's just $9.99. Are you upset that you bought that game for $60 and it's
That's
diminished
true.
Its value? So I don't think you should be too upset because it's just a matter of time. But now you have more friends
shocked.
To play the game with.
Okay. I was just shocked that when it went free to play, I didn't get some in-game loot. I was shocked. Like, I would imagine that I would get at least some free gold or maybe
they give you
one. Yeah, something, right?
For being an early adopter.
But that said, I don't know 100% that I bought this game. I know
they
I played it.
They were giving away a lot of free
copies. Do you own it, Bobby?
Yeah. They were giving away free copies all over the place.
Okay.
You own this game. You own this game. You own this game. It's all
and here's
free
a Kia.
Folks.
And by the way, Chi, did you see on Discord our Kia owners... We're a little upset by your Kia comments and said that it's actually good cars.
Did I actually offend somebody about the Kia thing?
Well, yeah.
I wasn't talking
Bobby's,
about the car, not
Bobby's
the car.
Keyboard. Let's just so everybody knows, Bobby's keyboard looks like a Kia, I think is what you said.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't look like it has any glam to it.
All right.
And I'm not saying, I mean, really, I have to defend this comment?
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, my gosh. You're not driving a Lexus for crying out loud.
Although that, the Kia does have, like, their luxury one, their, like, elegant car, and it's a really nice car.
Is it actually a luxury Kia, or is it a different?
No, it's a luxury
Toyota.
Kia.
And Toyota, they have
I've been in one because I got an Uber ride. I was like, dude, this is like a BMW. He's like, this is what I tell everybody.
Yeah.
For $20,000 less.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
Do South Park because I got to pee.
Yeah. So speaking of, I think I name dropped Fractured Butthole. It is a $60 game. And I did not buy it yet, guys. I want to so badly. I've heard good things about it, and I've seen little snippets of people playing the game. But I am at least getting back into the Stick of Truth. If you purchase Fractured Butthole, you actually get the Stick of Truth for free, from what I understand. And I am revisiting with my old game save just to realize I forgot everything that I did. So what I'm going to do in order to beat the Stick of Truth is watch somebody else play the game up to the point where I left off. And then from there, I can finish my game because the storyline is fairly straight edge structured. And once I beat that, I will be reviewing Fractured Butthole because I am having so much fun, even reliving the Stick of Truth. If you guys ever played any of the South Park games and never beat it, I might recommend going back and just re-experiencing it because it's everything you love and know about South Park, and you can't be mad at it. I know previously before I said, hey, it might be worth buying at $39.99, but I'm having so much fun playing the Stick of Truth again that I could probably purchase Fractured Butthole at full value just to kind of finish where I left off again. Bobby, what do you think? I know you told me that you heard some mixed things about it.
Yeah, the reviews that I saw about it were not that great. I mean, there were good ones out there, but they all seemed pretty mediocre. When The Stick of Truth came out, everybody said the exact same thing. If you like South Park, you're going to like this game. So I figured it'd be the same thing with this one, but I hear there's a lot less content in the Fractured Butthole, and it felt like the game was a little rushed. Now, the first game also, Stick of Truth, was made by Obsidian Entertainment, and they are a well-known studio for making some really great RPG games. And the new one, Fractured Butthole, is made by Ubisoft San Francisco. So I don't know if that really comes into play or if that has anything to do with it, but I don't know. I still want to play the game. It's just with Wolfenstein coming out in a week and, you know, just being busy with other stuff, I know I'm not going to get a chance to play it. I might as well just buy it when I'm actually going to play it.
How about I get South Park and you get Wolfenstein and then we'll all be there, one big happy family.
Yep.
Amelia, what are you getting? What $60 title are you buying that we can rotate?
I got Shadow War.
Oh, I should probably play that.
So I was playing, are we good on this?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Rubber Nuts and I played some ESL, and this is one of these things that came out of fucking left field. I had no idea. So I knew that a lot of our Discord and, you know, a lot of our listeners play ESL. And I knew that Rubbernuts played, but I did not know that he played to the extent that he plays. Like, he has multiples of every card. He has every legendary. He has he's working on every title, including ones that take you 100 times to, like, you got to do that. Like, he's balls deep in this game. I had no idea. So he wiped the floor with me. Like, we played 6 games. He went 5 for 5. And I was like, what is going on? And then, because, you know, I wiped the floor with Leet, you know, not that long ago. So I thought I was going to be all right. Nope, did not happen. And it was interesting because I didn't wipe the floor with Leet. I was just kidding.
I almost like said something
I
about that.
I slightly edged her out. I slightly edged her out is what happened. And what's interesting is, like, Rubbernuts comes off as this crazy fucking Australian dude that wears a Viking helmet. And you never know what you're going to get with your gamer buddies. This guy knows this game deeply. And I put my dick between my legs and fucking ran away. It was a beating.
So Rubbernuts, like, is the kid that comes to school with the 3-inch ring binder full of laminated multiples
this is the guy.
Of cards.
But also knows his shit, because not always that guy knows how to play too. The guy with all the laminated fucking shiny cards, not all the time knows how to play. This guy was, he's balls deep.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Rubbernuts.
Lee Milf says that he kicks my ass a lot, too. So, yeah, good on you, buddy. Congratulations. I don't like losing, you fuck.
All right, let's transition into some news here. Emilio, you want to go first?
Sure. PUBG is going to up the dot damage of the blue next week, which means you can't, especially the first circle is so, like, you could just, if you got good gear, you can just chill in the blue for a while, for quite a while, minutes, 5 minutes if you want, if you have enough, like, medicine. And so you can come in from the blue where people think you're safe from and just kill them, shoot them in the back. And they're trying to do away with that, I think, a little more. So I think they said they were going to double all of them.
Double?
Yeah, which means, like, when it gets in deep, I think maybe one touch or two touches is going
to
kill you.
That is going to be an amazing fix for this game because it forces people to be more confrontational, to be more dependent on their actual shooting.
And less hiding.
And constant repositioning and being aware of areas of which they're exposed or not exposed. I've been ganked from the back from people in the blue.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no effing way. How did he survive in the blue that long? But it's not even necessarily that. There are people, and oddly enough, such an example, I just read a post where somebody won a chicken dinner without killing anyone at all. It's all about positioning, all in the same. So with this one here, it kind of forces you to try harder, definitely in terms of constant re-strategizing, maneuvering yourself across the map. Initial place that you land to, you might change up where you want to land because if you know you're going to be far
dangerous
away
to be
from
on
the circle.
Outskirts. Yeah.
And then...
But they're subsidizing that now, too. I don't know if you knew this. So, you know where Stallburg is up on the hill?
Yes.
There's a town just like... There's a new town just west of there.
Awesome.
Way off in the corner.
So, they're just trying to have more people populate different areas of the map.
Yes, but that town
where it's now
has the dopest loot.
Oh,
like
sick.
Not the dopest, but really good loot.
Okay,
for just like a small town. So they kind of want you to take those risks initially where you jump. But
okay.
They said they're just going to test it, but I think like you like it, I like it. Just the idea of it.
I like the idea of it because it leaves less to probability and more to skill, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because you have to be. You're just more confrontational, as I mentioned. So you have to approach, probably come crossfire a lot more because of this.
The only downside I can see to this is, okay, if you know absolutely there's nobody in blue, then you can turn your back on blue and be safe. And one thing about PUBG is like, I don't think there should ever be an angle that you know 100% you're safe from. You know what I mean? That's the one thing. But by far, I think the pros out the con the way, the cons here.
Yeah.
The pros out con. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so there might be less people trailing behind you, but there could be a higher concentration of people camping out.
In front of you.
Yeah, camping out areas and shooting you as you're trying to race in front of the blue. Yep. So.
Early November, they are actually going to test the official release of PUBG. 1.0 release, and that's going to come in with climbing and vaulting. So
ooh.
I don't know if you guys remember those preliminary videos that came out about 3 months ago of people like climbing on cars, buildings, getting up on top on roofs and all that. It's going to change the game so much. People are just going to be camping on random ash rocks and shit that you couldn't get onto before. So that's probably the number two thing I've heard people bitch about. Number one is the new maps, but there's no mention of that anytime soon. But the climbing and vaulting is great, and they're going to test it for 3 days for the 1.0 release. And, you know, it's one of these games that I'm glad just keeps moving on. And so many people are playing it, and it's not one of these things where, like, what are they doing with all their money? Like Valve. What are they doing with all their money? Like, I have no idea. I know what these guys are doing with their money.
Well, I think there's a reason Gaben isn't getting any skinnier.
So. You're saying all of our Steam money is going to corn dogs? I have an interesting question. I can't believe I'm remembering all this shit.
I mean, awesome.
So Sam is in an internship. She met this old lady. She's like 50. And she told
50's
Sam.
50's not that old.
She told Sam that... Have you heard of Steam? Right? And she's like, yes, my boyfriend's on there quite a bit. And she's like, the man who owns that followed me my entire life, tried to get out, get me on a date for years and years. We went from elementary school till now, and I never gave him the time of day, and now he's a billionaire. And I was like, and Sam came home. She goes,
well, thank goodness you didn't drag him down.
Yeah.
Old lady.
Yeah.
Keep your legs crossed because we're happy with
what came out. All his brilliance came out of his lack of pussy, his blue balls. His blue balls
exactly,
produced steam.
Right? I mean, if
the only thing
have
his
to
balls
do it,
ever produced
Gaben
was
to
steam.
Do it. That's hilarious. Was she hot?
I don't know.
No, she was 50, so I think we all know the answer to that.
Oh, come on. That's awful, guys.
There are hot 50-year-olds,
though. Don't say that.
They're rare, but they do happen. Michelle Pfeiffer is still kind of hot.
Plastic surgery. So I don't know about her. I haven't seen her recently, but usually a doctor's got to get involved after a certain year.
Who's 60, by the way? Who's 60, by the way?
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
All right. Steam sales. the dates have been leaked. Have you guys seen this? All three of them for the remainder of the year. The October sale, they do a Halloween sale.
Yeah, I remember that.
Autumn sale and also the big winter sale. The dates have been leaked. So let's see what they are here. Winter sale, December 21st through January 4th. Autumn sale is November 22nd through 28th. And then the Halloween sale is going to be October 26th through November 1st. You know, it's kind of funny how little I care about Steam sales these days.
When you own everything that you want to own. I'm not making a joke
jaded.
Here. Like, you already own everything that you want to own, right? Like, for the, I mean, there might be four or five outliers, but.
I mean, I do my crafting during the winter sale. And then during the October sale, they'll do a lot of scary games. So maybe I'll pick up something there, but I don't know. I usually don't end up picking up a whole lot. Although I do have 41 games on my wish list, and it's never been that big. Like, my wish list is usually like 20 something games. So I don't know. Maybe I'll pick up more this year.
What are those festivals called when you go there and you dress as like medieval times?
Renaissance.
Yeah. You sound like a Renaissance fair provider, Bobby. You're like, I do all my crafting in the winter, then I'm ready for festival season.
Oh, man. All right. So as for me, I don't really have a news piece, but if you didn't know, TwitchCon just ended this weekend. It happened in Long Beach, California. I said I was going to go.
No, you know what? We all said we were going to go.
Yeah, we all.
But then BlizzCon happened, and we were all, and we're like, fuck you, we got to go.
These guys were like, fuck TwitchCon.
Can you blame us,
though? I don't blame you, yeah. And to be honest, I went last year, and I would have gone this year, but I wouldn't have committed to 3 days of TwitchCon. I know the venue was a lot smaller than the San Diego Convention Center, and I have not been a heavy presence on Twitch as I usually am. So because of that, there weren't a lineup of names that I wanted to see that I haven't already met.
Yeah.
So there was maybe just one or two people where if I had gone to TwitchCon, I would have went out of my way to meet up with.
And if I remember correctly, I mean, you said it was kind of like you weren't super thrilled with last
year. It was
year.
More of a meet and greet than
meet
anything
and greet.
Else.
Yeah, exactly.
And TwitchCon is, of course, it has a heavy presence on Twitch TV itself. A lot of streamers will live stream in real life. And then not only that, they live stream all of their panels. So it's very hard to miss anything if you are not actually at TwitchCon itself. And the impressions I got from people that went, who had hoped that I had gone, let me know that it was fairly mediocre and not as good as last year.
Yeah.
There were some differences about this year that I thought was pretty nifty and neat. One of the bigger things was they had these cubes where you could stream your stream directly from TwitchCon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw those soundproof booths, basically.
Yeah, and people can actually, you can have a real life audience and then, of course, your audience through the game. I thought that was pretty interesting. But at the same time, if the venue was a lot smaller and the city isn't as big, and well, I mean, Long Beach is awesome, but it's not LA and it's not SD. So for me, if I could skip a year for TwitchCon, it was this year.
Yeah.
If you went to TwitchCon, I don't think anyone in our Discord went to TwitchCon either. But
if you did,
share it with the Discord family, guys. So, and if you have yet to cross over into our Discord community, I would love to invite you. The Discord link is on both our Instagram and our website, so check it out.
DLGaming.net.
DLGaming.net or at digital_logic with a K.
That's Twitter, Instagram, I believe.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Before we transition out of news here, we should probably bring up what everyone's been talking about in the Discord chat. NeoGAF is looking like it's going to shut down. Now, are you guys familiar with this?
Never heard those words before in my life.
Never, ever? Okay.
I did read up. Bill the Heel mentioned it in our Discord chat. And then I looked up the article on it, and it's basically an infamous video game forum community. and it's cross-platform, so it's not just PC gaming, it's also console gaming. I have never heard of it before myself. Have you, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had an account with NeoGAF, and it's a lot of console gaming, so I never checked it after that. I completely lost interest. So the fact that it's going away, I mean, it doesn't affect me in the slightest.
So why is it going away?
There was some... some controversy.
Drama.
Yeah.
Alleged sexual assault for the owner behind NeoGAF.
Yeah. So the guy in charge of it was being accused of sexual harassment. There's some allegations. And I guess all their mods quit. So I don't know. So I know this was a big site. Like, I hear this get mentioned constantly in the world of gaming, just all the time. So I know it's kind of a big deal to some people, but it just doesn't affect me.
I love forums, but it's hard for me to really branch out unless somebody, it's a word of mouth recommendation, or if it's, for instance, when I played World of Warcraft, I was on the official forums through Blizzard. But NeoGAF, I'm surprised that I've never heard of it. And it is so huge of a network.
Well, one thing I remember when I signed up for it, they don't let you sign up with a Gmail account or with any place that you can go and just get like a free email account. Like, they wanted something a little more concrete. So they did try to keep it a little more closed off than other places.
Okay. But. So now that NeoGAF is no longer going to exist, what are we really missing out on, Bobby? Like, what would you say NeoGAF offered? Is it the 4chan of video game forums, or what elements of it do you think we're missing?
See, to me, the only thing that I really check is the hot subreddit. That's about all the forums I can take, because forums is a lot of work. Like, people put a lot of work into posts, and they have big, long-ass things trying to make points and express their ideas. You know, some of them are good, you know, and worth the read, but I really don't want to put that much effort into something that I don't really care that much about. And, like, something as broad of a topic as gaming, like, that's just too much for me to dig through, so... You know, I check the hot subreddit and just anything that shows up in my news feed. I'm trying to get on board with this whole Google Assistant thing right now. So I've customized my news feed, so it's all like technical news and shit like that.
And that's what I do too. Most of my news that I receive is from Google Now. And then not only that, Reddit is also... it's not really forming, but it's the place for me to get quality pieces without spending a large amount of time researching and or trying to find something that might pique my interest, because on Reddit they do all the work for you.
Speaking of Reddit, should we all do a roast me and then read them on the internet on the podcast?
What, like, know celebrities? What is it similar to celebrities reading mean tweets or something?
You take a picture of yourself, a high res picture, you post it, people make fun of you. And then I think we could read them on here. You guys don't know about Roast Me?
No, I've heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
My self-esteem is already low enough as it is. I would 14, not do anything so that would make me really suicidal. I'm just kidding.
Well, let me tell you now, I need to be knocked down a few notches. Even more than the notches, rubber nuts notched me down. Sounds sexual.
Yep. All right. So hardware, we don't really have anything this week. But, Chi, you're going to be testing out your new bloody keyboard, the 820, and telling us about that next week, right?
It's funny, you're like, your new keyboard. It's because we have this keyboard, and I did actually get to test out the last keyboard. I was highly disappointed. I am going into this with very low expectations, but I will give it an authentic review this time. I'm going to plug it in, have it on my computer desk, and actually use it for a good amount of time and really give you my impression of it. A mechanical keyboard is important to me because it's very important that I like what I'm using, but also that it works well with my stream, if I am streaming. And with that, with you guys telling me that this keyboard is a lot quieter, that might be a huge selling point for me if I do convert over. The quietest. Okay. We'll see about that.
Cool. And the response time.
Thank you for the hardware piece. I know you guys kind of just passed it on to me, but I will do my due diligence and give it a good, honest review.
Cool. All right. Listener feedback. Time for some questions. First one coming from Steven Sensei says, what underappreciated horror game should we be playing this Halloween? Also, favorite horror movie. Who wants to go first?
Amnesia Dark Descent, if you haven't played it. I couldn't play it more than 15 minutes. So there you go.
I would say for underrated, I don't know what underappreciated. I'm not sure what horror games that I've played that have been underappreciated. I've played a lot of horror games that are
raved upon. What was the last one you were bringing up the last 2 weeks? The one that like you're
empty-handed?
Yeah, it was the only... You're the only person that's ever played in the
I didn't want to bring it up a third week in a row, you know? Yeah. But, and I don't want to recommend the game again. But in any case, I know Soma doesn't really... I wouldn't qualify Soma
though, right?
as a horror game.
It's creepy.
But for a game as good as it is, there needs to be more people who should be playing the game or have played the game. And so I recommend Soma. It is... It's not... It's... The concept is kind of creepy, but no elements of the game, other than surprise elements, would really terrify you.
Itchy, would...
jump scare elements,
sorry. Do
you
think that Sam would enjoy me? She does sit through games that I play, like Life is Strange, she really liked. Do you think Soma would have been... She loves horrors.
Oh, she would love Soma.
Soma, yeah.
Soma's a little long. That's the only thing.
Life is Strange is super long, dude. It's 24
Yeah, but it's
hours,
episodic,
huh?
So you do it in chunks.
Life is Strange, the horror of teenage angst.
No, we're talking about the length.
Oh, the length, okay.
Isn't that what you ladies talk about?
By the way, what is your favorite horror movie?
It.
I haven't seen
one?
The new
yeah.
It. Or the original okay. It, so I haven't seen it.
You saw it
all.
Too, right, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
Do you not agree that it's... Maybe one of the best horror movies ever?
Yeah, and I like how they split it up, because the book and the original movie or miniseries, there's a whole other part to that movie, like where they come back as adults.
Yeah.
So they just said, fuck it, we're going to split it up into two movies rather than try to do it all in one, and I think that was the right call.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't wait for the sequel.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Sure.
As for my favorite horror movie, I actually hate scary movies, so my recommendations are going to be...
Whoa.
What? I hate scary movies.
100% you say that you love sitting... You love watching them, though.
No, I don't.
As long as somebody else is there? Is that?
Well, I can watch a scary movie if someone else is there, but if I am looking for a movie to watch, I will never prefer a horror film.
Oh, okay.
So I will never...
I had you pinned incorrectly.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
So I will never have the desire to watch a horror movie unless it was to provoke... like a movie date or something like that,
gotcha.
Or to be in the season. And it's very rare. So my favorite horror movie isn't really a horror movie per se, but I would probably say The Thing.
Oh yeah. John
that
Carpenter's
kind of,
one.
That yeah.
The color one in color, right?
Yes. The one in color.
Okay.
So
there's an earlier one that I don't know. People did.
So
like,
I would say The Thing is my favorite horror movie because
Bobby?
It's not really horror.
Well,
wait, I thought we were talking about games.
Yeah, well,
this is a two-part question.
Oh, also a favorite. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So underappreciated horror games. First one, I mentioned it a couple times recently, Dread Out. It is made by a Filipino studio or something. It's like in an area where like you don't see a lot of developers.
Bobby, they don't have the internet there. What are you talking about?
Well, they do.
About. Sorry.
But it's not a, like you look at it and the graphics look real low budget, but it's a solid game. Like it's got all the right parts. You play as like this young Asian girl in a schoolgirl outfit.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's got that going for it. You're creeping around this kind of scary abandoned school. And there's one part of this, and there's a screenshot of it on my Steam profile. You can look at it there. There's one part of this where something comes running down at you at a hallway, and it's one of the scariest things that I've experienced in a game.
That's awesome.
It was great. So, yeah, I recommend that. Even
do you have weapons in this game? Or?
No, you have a cell phone.
A cell phone, that's it.
Yeah, and you can use it as a flashlight
that's a
and take videos.
That kind of reminds me of Fatal Frame, because when you say Japanese schoolgirl, have you ever played the Fatal Frame series?
No, I don't think she's Japanese.
That's console, no?
Yeah, it is console, this is where you might have confused it. I love horror games, but I do not like horror movies. Horror movies, I have no control. Horror games, I have control.
Yeah.
So it's a control thing.
Well put.
And I really want to play the sequel to that because they ended it like it was the first episode or something. And then I think they canceled the whole episode idea and they just made a sequel to it. So yeah, Dread Out, I'd recommend that. And also if you're looking for something a little lighter, Double Fine has a game, Costume Quest 1 and also Costume Quest 2. Great game for kids, like pretty casual, like simple RPG, bunch of kids going out trick-or-treating. I don't know. I enjoyed that game. When the second one came out, I was all over it. I think I might have even pre-purchased it.
And how did the second one stack up to the first? I remember your review. I remember you did review it. I don't remember your review.
I liked it just as good as the first one. Like,
cool.
Yeah. As far as horror movies, I don't know. There's so many of them. I think the one that really... I think the one that either scared me the most or I liked the most was the first Paranormal Activity. Like, that was just... But you go back and you watch it. There's been four of them. Like, it's all played out now. But when that first came out, like, that was so fucking good, man. I remember seeing that in the theater. Oh, God.
So that guy worked with Chad at Sony. And he got fired because he kept, like, coming into late work. Work late. And, like, not showing up, calling in sick. Because he was working on Paranormal Activity. And then he made all that money. And he was like, fuck you, bitches.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, how crazy is that? He was just a game tester.
Yeah. Well, there's one other movie I want to plug too, and it's very unknown. A lot, but if you talk to any like horror film buffs, like they'll always mention this one. It came out in 2007. It's called Trick or Treat. Trick R, the letter R, and then Treat. Have you guys seen it or heard of it?
No.
Yeah. See, no one's heard
of
this.
Stop being weird, Bobby.
Is this like bootleg horror movie?
No. No. It's not like gruesome or like way out there. Like it. It follows different characters on Halloween night and kind of bounces back in between all of them. And like this one little pumpkinhead kid and like all the stories tie into each other. Like the narrative is like pretty complex, but it's a great movie. I highly recommend checking that one out. It's not like, I know I recommended a lot of super weird shit. Like when it comes to movies, it's not one of those ones. This is like a total popcorn, watch, scream with your friends, kind of have a good time movie.
That's really cool. And for all the lady listeners out there, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. Hocus Pocus.
That's the one with the... He's the... it's the fucking scarecrow, right? The one that flies? Is that the one?
No, it's the three witches.
Oh, that's Jeepers Keepers.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call that kid Hollywood all the time. I remember Hocus Pocus. I'm
Hocus
probably going to watch that one
is
this
just
year. It's been
good
a while.
Old, like, feel-good Halloween movie.
So, the other day, I was driving with a friend of mine, and we hadn't talked in a while, and he said... What'd you think of it? And I said, I think it's the greatest horror movie of all time. And then he's like, really? And then I was like, oh, shit. And then he put me up against the wall like, oh, I really have to think about this. So I guess...
A lot of your comments have been very homoerotic today, might I add.
He put me up against the wall.
Yeah, something about getting slammed by rubber nuts and...
Yeah. I like men. And they like me. But so... I don't know. I think Alien is one of the greatest horror movies of all time.
Oh.
I mean, it doesn't hold up anymore.
Well, no. Okay. So the thing about Alien is, I swear we had this conversation before. I saw Alien for the first time this past year.
Right.
And I think Alien, when it came out, was staple because it was just, what is it, when something is... It's just a certain boundary nobody's really dived into, and it was a concept that was great. But for me watching it, it was...
So slow.
It made me cringe or something so much where I was screaming at the TV constantly because of how stupid I felt every single actor was.
Every character was.
And no one would listen to the black guy. And I'm just like, listen to the black guy.
You always got to listen to the black guy.
No one's going to listen to a black guy. And he ends up dying the most valiant way in the movie. And
if we listened to the black guy in real life, exactly. We wouldn't have Trump as president.
Listen to the black guy janitor. Just listen to him. No,
and the other one that came up was The Exorcist. Like, The Exorcist scarred my brain for many years.
Yeah.
Like, I was so scared.
You know what I think does it for The Exorcist? That was before they just had to CGI everything. And that shot where, what's the demon's name? Pazuzu, where they show his face, and it's an actual person's face, but done up in makeup, but it's just like a completely black screen, and then he has this real evil grin. Like, that will haunt you, man. Like, that is just.
And they
horrifying.
So they said, I saw somebody saying that there's no way that they would have let that little girl go through what she did in a modern film, it would be considered child abuse. They literally scratched her stomach. Those messages that were scratched into her stomach were literally scratched into her stomach. And she was saying things to the priest, like, I hope your mother sucks cocks in hell. And, like, she was 12. That's a 12-year-old girl saying, like, craziest shit, you know? Back in the, whenever that was made, 80s, early 80s?
Yeah, but I'm sure worse things 70s. Happened to children off camera. Sure. And
whoa!
Oh no! I mean, no.
What?
Well, no. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I think hopefully, and after seeing some post and interview things about the actress herself, it's one of those things where yes, they did do all of that, but at the same time, she consented to that.
No,
she took the job. Parent, she got money for
her
it.
Mom
her
had
parents.
To, yeah.
It's all parenting too yeah. involved in that too. So, and poor children. They can't. Do they really decide
way,
anything for themselves?
And by the way, she smokes crack on 42nd Street now. So
really?
No, I don't know.
Oh man, too literal. Too gullible.
All right. Next question coming from Shadow Master. How are you a PC gamer when everyone you meet is playing consoles?
That's something you have to deal with. At a certain point, I'm like, everybody I talk to is just playing Madden or like Call of Duty. And then at some point I was like, I know these people are out there. Steam really brought it together, mm-hmm. really, was the initial time. Like, there are millions of us and they're all right here. But you don't find them in real life. Me and Bobby found each other and... How special that is, we made a podcast. That's how special two PC gamers meeting, that's the explosion, the creative explosion you get out of that happening. So it's rare, but when it happens, it's just orgasms all around.
And I concur to that as well. I speak to gamers all the time that I meet in person, and I tell them I'm a PC gamer, and some of them get it, some of them don't. Mm-hmm. I can still talk about console games. I used to work for GameStop. I could talk about console games and used to all day, and I have plenty of experience and time invested into console games. But all in all, PC gaming is where my heart is where my interest is. And when I find someone who I could bring into this core group, into my PC gaming family, I hold on to them and then I handcuff myself to them and I will fight and claw to keep them in my life because you just don't come across them. And when I do speak to console gamers in person, even though I can carry on a conversation about video games, when I tell them I'm a PC gamer, it kind of ends there. And then I said it to somebody. But then even, have you ever talked to a console gamer and they're like, you're a PC gamer. And they kind of put themselves on that plebistol.
Woo!
There
it is, Bobby.
And they're just like, oh, you're in another level. I know PC gamers, PC Master Race, we always have that type of...
he's trying to figure out how to spell plebistol.
where we are like, oh yeah, you know, where it's like, it's a different thing, you know, don't even try to come close to what this is. I feel like a lot of console gamers that I talk to, they're just like, oh yeah, every now and then I pick up the controller and play games, but you're a PC gamer, so I don't get it. And I'm just going to stay in my safe and comfy casual world where, you know, it's a boundary I don't even want to push or even like be curious about.
Yeah.
Because once you cross that line, you're over.
Bobby will say, every time somebody asks how we met, Bobby will bring up the point where he said, oh, I'm a gamer. And I said, I'm a gamer. And I said, no. But I am a PC gamer, sir. And he's like, me too, man. And we're playing TF2 because it's so rare.
Yeah.
You just have to like.
Hey, it happened with me too. Don't you? You probably don't remember. You were drinking that night.
Yeah.
When you guys met me at my bar. No, but what happened was when you guys came by my bar and it was Sam and I, Sam was the one who actually found out I was a gamer. And right. Sam said, oh, my boyfriend has a podcast. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You came out of the bathroom after like your fourth piss, who knows?
Yeah.
And then And it's like, oh, hey, that's cool that you guys have a podcast with, you know, I'm a gamer too. And you're like, what? And then you go, what kind of gamer? I'm like, PC gamer. and then you just do this like nod of approval. Okay, this conversation said, yeah, can continue.
I am super standoffish. You need you got to get on my super stool if you want to like talk on my level. But you said Twitch streamer, and I was like, ooh, most of those are not console games. Like, it's very rare. So right there, I knew something was going on.
Mm-hmm. And then we might have to skip... we can't skip this next question. I'll hold it in. I'm sorry.
Okay.
P was a trigger word for me, so.
All right. Let's go.
Emu Killer asks, since when does Chi drink again? Falling off the keto train?
Yes, Emu, I did fall off the keto train almost completely at this point now. Not because I wasn't seeing success, not because I was unhappy with ketosis.
There's no room on the couch for me right now.
No, I actually still weigh. I'm at my... what's the weight?
Target goal?
No, I'm not nowhere near that, but I'm at the weight that I've been stagnant in for a very long time. It's the weight where I'll either gain 10 pounds or lose 10 pounds. And what happened was I had family come visit, and because it was almost like a vacation, I went off the diet, and since then have been off the diet, but on a different diet that's not keto, just to try something new. And most likely will find myself back on keto when I'm more comfortable with where I'm at right now.
Let us not forget, she got peed on last week. She was pissed off.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Pissed off the sidewalk. And so she came in and was like, I need a drink. She came in here with
that too.
An agenda.
That too. So I am not drinking. That was just a week where I just needed many drinks. Many, many, many drinks and many carbs. So... but I'm doing much better now. Thank you for your concern, Emu.
I also want to say to Emu, when he came to San Diego, thanks for embarrassing me when you told the bartender at a craft beer place. He's like, how did you like your like flight? He had 10 beers, right?
Uh-huh.
A flight of 10 beers. He's like, I hated them all.
Oh, my goodness.
Looking at him right in the face. And he's like, hated each and every one of them. And the guy's like, oh, well, sorry, sir, I don't... He's like, I like Bud Light.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
The guy's like, okay. So, like, how do you...
Oh, my gosh, that would be embarrassing.
It's basically like going to KFC and saying, like, I don't like chicken. Right? Isn't it right? Kind of? No? Like, that's all they serve there.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. All right.
All right, final question coming from Lab Monkey. If the three of you got dropped onto the PUBG Island, who would win? I mean, probably the white guy, right?
Wow.
Oh, my
God. From downtown.
Wait a second. Original Battle Royale is from Asian. It's a Japanese film. Here.
So are we talking real life?
Yeah. Well, I guess
we're talking real life.
Because if you watch Battle Royale, some of those kids are finding knives. Other kids are finding fucking Uzis. It's like, okay, well, that's a little skewed.
So who has the most firearm experience here?
I've been to target practice.
I've been hunting many times.
And I have done paintballing a lot.
I've done paintballing.
I've got those
Bobby owns firearms,
strats that translate into.
I can easily say that I've shot more than 5,000 rounds.
To be honest, I think I would die to environmental causes. I would probably just like walk and like, you know, just fall over a cliff, die in the cold weather.
That I would probably have no idea what I was doing on that island. I have no idea where to go. I don't know where the school is. I don't know where the military base is. Yeah, I'd probably die from the blue shit.
So I guess I win because I looked around and everybody else was dead.
Oh, my gosh. Watch me be the... Oh, you know who I would love to be? That one chick who... And the movie Battle Royale, you guys have seen it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've seen it?
The Asian one, right?
Yeah.
Shut up. Not there are so many badass chicks in that movie, but the one that... the one that's the jogger, and then she almost gets raped, but then she just goes like, she gets into a one-on-one with this guy and stabs him probably 20 times over in the dick.
Ooh.
And then she comes out victorious, but she ends up dying anyways, slowly bleeding to death. But she's, I mean, out
it
of
wasn't
that fight, 100, she came
right?
out victorious.
In that movie, it was like 30.
No, it was just a classroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, what's next week looking like for everybody?
And now on dick stabbing, let's move on.
For me, I would love to be the Stick of Truth and most likely try Fractured But Whole. I would love to get back into Divinity as well. So, and
I'm sure Max
I'm not
will fracture
sure.
your butthole.
I'm not sure. What?
What?
Oh, my God. I would. I don't think I'm getting back. I know I said I was getting back into streaming, but I still have my computer hooked up to my TV. And I don't really streaming
from
my TV.
Reconfiguring this?
No, it's already been reconfigured. Everything's set up just fine to stream from my couch.
Yeah, I know. But why don't you put it back to normal?
Because I still want to play Divinity Couch Co-op.
But you have it.
But I have it.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Sorry, I'm not picking on you. I just want to make sure that I had all the
No, pieces. Trust me. Like, it actually really does bother me every day that my computer's not at my desk.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm dealing with it.
Bobby, here is a storm and...
Team Fortress 2 Jungle update. And I installed Albino Lullaby, episode 1. So cool. Maybe I'll
Interesting.
Get to that.
What's that?
It's kind of a horror game. It's
okay,
like
cool.
an adventure puzzle game, possibly. I want to get into some horror games.
What's up with that agony, though? Oh, it's not out yet.
Yeah. It said 2017. So
I'm more excited about you guys playing it than me, obviously, not playing it.
Yeah. Oh, and then Wolfenstein. I'll be playing that for sure.
More Shadow of War. I want to get my $60 worth. I don't think I got it quite yet, but I'm not complaining. I like the game. And besides that, I want to at least play one or two indie titles. So we'll see about that.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So you can find everything at dlgaming.net. That's our Twitter, all our episodes. You can buy t-shirts on there if you want to support us. Also a great way to support us, Patreon. We got new t-shirts, so you can, the $5 tier gets you a t-shirt?
Yep.
$5 gets you
$10
a t-shirt.
$10 tier gets you a t-shirt every 3 months.
Yep. Hell of a deal.
Hell of a deal. If you got big-ass titties, put them on a plebistool and then get back to us about how that feels and what it does for your life. Thank you, everybody.